Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program we talk about the lives of the Sahaba Kiram and Ridwan, the legacy they've left behind. And today inshallah we'll be talking about Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, great Sahabi Rasul inshallah. We'll be learning about the life and legacy of this great personality. Be with us from start and end, inshallah, immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning today from this program. But before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Lafat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As I am presenting this program, I mean this intention, I will present this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're watching this, you can make this intention, you will watch. From start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Today joins me Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Attar. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Wasim Abbas, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Welcome again. And today's topic is Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala. What a great personality, subhanAllah. And there is so much to learn from the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiyallahu ta'ala. And he was a very hospitable personality also at the same time, and he was very much helpful to the needy, masakin. He would look after, he would help them, and was very kind-hearted, especially when it came to help the needy, the poor, it has been mentioned. And there are so many other specialities which are linked with regards to this great personality. Where are you going to start?
SubhanAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Indeed, it's one way, a great legendary personality once again.
SubhanAllah.
And again, when we look at the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, and we see him to be the symbol of loyalty, the symbol of steadfastness, the symbol of devotion, the symbol of generosity. This was again one of his paramount prominent features, which is Jawad, he was known as, generosity. And again, how hospitable he was. And alongside all these traits, another beautiful trait that he possessed, which Allah Almighty blessed him with, was the eloquence of speech. How great an orator he was, what a great sermonizer he was. And he was specially known to do waz, to sermonize the people of Ma'rifah. Not only ordinary people, but those people who were known as the people of Ma'rifah, he radiallahu anhu, he would advise them, he would sermonize them, and he would specially call the masakin, the poor people, to his house, and he would make them his guests. So as you mentioned earlier that, you know, helping the needy, helping the poor, that's one thing. But he would make them his guest. He would invite them. He would call them. So this was the kind-heartedness that he radiallahu anhu possessed. And he radiallahu anhu, again, is amongst those individuals, those fortunate personalities who were blessed with performing migration in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice. Once towards Abyssinia and then towards Madinatul Munawwara. And then he radiallahu anhu is also amongst those personalities who had this honor that he performed salah facing both the qiblas.
SubhanAllah.
As first the qibla was towards Baitul Muqaddas, and then it was changed towards Ka'batullah Sharif after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. And he radiallahu anhu is amongst those sahaba who offered salah facing both the qiblas. And he radiallahu anhu was completely disinterested from this world, and he had special love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had that inclination towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this was very briefly talking about an introduction of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and what his specialities were. But again, when we delve deeper into his seerah, we cannot grasp the amount of sacrifices he gave just for the sake of Islam, leaving everything of his and migrating solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll talk about that as well. But very briefly, inshallah, within a couple of minutes, inshallah, let me just quickly mention his kunya, what his titles were.
Sure.
Where it is mentioned this, his kunya was Abu Abdullah and Abu al-Masakin. Yes. Abu Abdullah was because of his son's name. His son's name was Abdullah, so Abu Abdullah. And Abu al-Masakin because of his love for the poor, for the Masakin. His name was Ja'far, and he had many titles. One of them was Jawad, as mentioned earlier, because of his extreme generosity. Then Dhul Janahain, meaning the one with two wings.
Two feathers.
Dhul Janahun means one wing, whereas he radiallahu anhu is known as Dhul Janahain, the plural form, two wings. And then he's also known as Tayyar, the one who flies. Tayyar is also one of his titles. And Sahibul Hijratain, meaning the one who performed multiple migrations. So these are some of his titles. And then Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he is the brother of the fourth caliph of Islam, Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali
al-Murtaza,
elder brother, 10 years older than Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and he was the cousin of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, that was immense, that he had for Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu anhu, and same was the case, of course, with Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu anhu.
We will definitely shed a light on this in detail, So, one thing, as you've asked me, just carrying on what you have just talked about, that Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and he is known as As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun, okay, amongst that category also. Although he had, accepted Islam later, but he is still considered among them. Further, it has been mentioned that even before, if we talk about the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, before the Islam, definitely we'll be talking about once he accepted Islam, and then we'll also talk about when he went to the court of Najashi king, and inshallah, further his different attributes will carry on. But I would like to touch upon the very earliest stage of his life when he was not even a Muslim. He had not embraced Islam. It has been mentioned that he has been granted four specialities from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first, he said, I never drank alcohol because it lessens the intellect.
Now, makes a person lose his senses.
So this is something special, that even that era of ignorance, when it was very much common, see, these diseases and illnesses were very common amongst that community. But subhanAllah, amongst those people, Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala says that I did not drink.
Unlawfulness for it, the prohibition was not revealed yet.
Yeah, that is separate. But even he did not drink. And further, he says that I did not prostrate other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'budan al-batil, right? And I did not prostrate because the stone cannot benefit anyone. He is also giving the reason. Why did not he drink the alcohol? Because it lessens the intellect. You see? And then he says that I did not prostrate before ma'budan al-batil, or other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, or the statues, because stone cannot benefit anyone. And then further he says that I did not commit adultery. This was another beautiful aspect of his life, even before the embracing of Islam. And then further, a very important bit is that I never spoke lies. Lying is a very, very bad quality itself. All these qualities are definitely bad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected him in a sense, and subhanallah, and this is what Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala and his life, even before he accepted Islam, that is what he's been mentioned. And then, as you rightly said, Abu al-Masakin, Sahih Bukhari, this is mentioned, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala and he says that whenever we would feel hungry,
right,
and we would go to the house of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu, we would go to Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and once he says that once even we ate whatever was left, the honey, whatever was left over, honey was present, he had given us, and we ate with that. So that is how he would look after the needy, the poor, that whenever any miskin wanted food, or he would feel hungry,
they would approach Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and these beautiful attributes, what we can learn from the seed of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, what the special four important elements which have been discussed in this subhanallah riwayat, where he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, had protected him. So we should also avoid, because definitely alcohol, as far as other harms of alcohol are concerned, in terms of the destructions are concerned, but many, many diseases are also linked with this.
Indeed.
And if you look at the research, when you do the research, and you will find out there are many, many, many diseases which are directly linked with alcohol. The excessive consumption of alcohol leads one to end up in admitting in hospitals, and hospitals are full because of this disease. And alhamdulillah, Islam, what does it do? And the beautiful Islam is, it stops you from the very first place, and stops you at the door. It doesn't want you to enter to that, let alone that later on you can do the precautions. That is the second stage. Islam stops you at the very first place. And then again, adultery is a sin, one of the major sins in Islam, so we should avoid it. And then the lying, this is what also we can learn, and definitely doing ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also a beautiful attribute what we can learn from the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala.
Definitely, and I think if we just take these few points of the seerah of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, this can also serve as a charter of life.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the last one which you also spoke about after the narration of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, where he had that love for masakeen, that love for feeding the needy. This is again something that brings harmony and peace in the society. That's the worldly benefit. But then how great this action is from the perspective of having one's ranks raised. That's also amazing. So we should have this inclination towards adopting these very habits that we, when we come across the lives of the Sahaba, where they spend their lives according to the principles of Islam, and just these four points that you spoke about, the four traits of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, these are beautiful pearls of guidance for us to lead our life in accordance with.
One more thing, Wasim Rashmi. One is helping the needy. There are people who help. They give money, you see, they give ration, or maybe they different ways and forms they help the needy masakin. One is that calling masakin to your house and then feeding them, making them sit next to you and then feeding them. This is something next level. It is the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that he would not only help the masakin, but he would sit with them. He would talk to them. He would listen to them.
He would make them his guest.
He would make them his guest. He would take them home, and then he would feed them. This is something very special.
That's humility at its peak.
Subhanallah.
You're making people like us, what do we do? Someone who's highly ranked in this world, someone who possesses wealth, we would sort of, we would tend to make him our guest or invite only those people to our homes, and we would like to have their company. But look at the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the likes of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that he would call masakin to his house and he would enjoy their company. And this is the sign, the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
There are certain people who help the needy, right? Help the masakin, but at the same time, they disrespect them, they ridicule them, they degrade them, right? They are standing on their door, they don't, even if it has been announced that they will distribute the ration, let's say for example at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they would wait that more and more masakin can be gathered, and they would distribute that maybe 11 o'clock or let's say 1 o'clock, 3-4 hours they would wait outside while they, maybe I don't know what their intention is, but everybody has to reflect on their intentions. That is it, they're gathering so to show the people how many people have been helped. But in other words, in that hot weather or in that rain, those people, they're standing and waiting, the masakin outside, and then Mr. So-and-so would come, and then he would take some pictures and he would distribute it and he would help. This is also people do, but at the same time, they're disrespecting, ridiculing them.
This opens doors to many other evils, such as arrogance, such as show-off, such as ostentation.
Definitely.
And this is where it also opens doors to looking down upon others, you know, considering others to be inferior and considering yourself to be superior, which is exactly the definition of arrogance. And the harms of having arrogance are severe. So, of course, what you just mentioned, this is something to ponder upon, and this is exactly contrary to what we learn from the seerah of the likes of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anh, which teaches us to adopt humility, humbleness, and we should love the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help them regardless of whether they're poor or rich. In fact, if they're poor, we should be extra kind and humble towards them.
But well, Sibu, inshallah, we'll come back from a segment and we'll inshallah further talk about the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. Respected viewers, now it's the time to include a segment that is message from a scholar. Let's find out what message is there for you, for me, for all of us. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
My name is Muhammad Ziaullah, and my question from Amir of Ahl-Sunnah is that sometimes in a gathering, ijtima or mahfil, a person starts feeling remorse and guilty about the sins and mistakes he had done in his past life, and he wants to change and become pious. Now, such person, what sort of actions should he perform which will make him pious? Please guide. How can one become pious and what actions should he perform?
Well, in this regard and relation, a person, and especially the one who is a Muslim, has to and ought to follow the commandments of Sharia. He should be punctual in offering Salah. He should keep the fast of Ramadan. He should be punctual in offering Faraid and Wajibat, meaning that he should be punctual on obligations and necessities. He should be considerate in regards to halal and haram. He should not go even close to haram sustenance and only pursue halal sustenance. Furthermore, one should also keep a good company. If the company before was of negligent people, or the company in which he was of sinful people. As is the case nowadays that companies are normally like this, when friends meet, these are the type of companies. Useless conversation, using abusive language, backbiting others, talking against each other, and many more similar kind of acts are performed in such companies, which eventually against the Sharia. So it is very important for you to abandon the company of such kind of people. If you think that your taqwa will remain intact while staying in a bad company, then stop daydreaming. This is absolutely impossible. You will have to adopt a good company, the company of the pious, the company of the devotees of the Prophet. If you have a resolute heart and your intention is sincere, then inshallah you will definitely be helped. Allah, the Almighty, says in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Translation of Quran, Kanzul Irfan. And whosoever desires the hereafter and strives for it as one should, while he is a believer too, then these are the very people whose efforts will be valued. The great Quranic exegete, Sadrul Afadil Mufti Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi, Rahimahullah, mentions a beautiful thing over here. That from this verse, we come to know that three things are needed for the acceptability of a deed. One being desirous of the hereafter, meaning desiring the well-being of the hereafter, his intention should be sincere. Number two, performing an action with all its due requisites, meaning you try your hardest for it. You exert all your efforts to ensure that you will perform the action in question with all its fara'id, meaning the obligations, wajibat, sunnahs, mustahabbat, and try to make the action as perfect as possible. Number three, iman, which is the most important, because without iman, without faith, no action, no deed is accepted at all. Having iman is a condition. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.
Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم.
Welcome back to Perspective of Humanity channel. Today we are talking about Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib رضي الله تعالى عنه. Great Sahabi Rasul. We touched upon a few special attributes and qualities Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib رضي الله تعالى عنه possessed. Now, there is a very, very prominent feature in his life that when he migrated towards Habsha Abyssinia, and then he was called in the court of the king. And then the king Najashi, when he inquired about some from him about the religion of Islam and about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a very, very famous account in the history of Islam when he, you can say, was there who addressed Najashi Bacha, the king. Would you please elaborate how beautifully he dealt that, and what were the comments and arguments he made there, and how did he convince that why he was there for, and subhanallah.
SubhanAllah, this is amazing, this one, especially when we spoke about how eloquent he was, how eloquent in speech he was. Now, what we need to understand over here is that talking to an ordinary person is different, but then talking to the king of the time is something else. And convincing him, having that convincing power through your speech, it can't be done by any ordinary person. It had to be Ja'far radiallahu anhu, who had to address the king Najashi in his court,
fighting your case,
advocating it through utmost eloquence. And I would say that if you want to learn eloquence, if you want to learn how to speak, this very sermon of Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu anhu is the perfect case study for us, through which we can also improve our linguistic skills. Now, what had happened was that the tyrannies of the disbelievers in Mecca had rose so much that the Muslims had to migrate, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded the Muslims to migrate to Habsha, to Abyssinia. Now, Sayyidina Burda radiallahu anhu, he narrates from his father that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he commanded us to migrate to the kingdom of the King Najashi with Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu.
Okay.
Now, the Muslims, they migrate to Habsha, to Abyssinia, and as soon as the Quraysh, they find out about this, they send their delegation to King Najashi to complain about the migrants, about the Muslims who had migrated over there. So Amr bin As, who up to now had not embraced Islam, and Umara bin Walid, these are the two people who were sent by the Quraysh to King Najashi along with the gifts, so they could present those gifts to King Najashi,
okay,
and also ask him to give them back the Muslims where they had come from. So Amr bin As and Umara bin Walid, they go to King Najashi, give him the gifts, and they were accepted by the King Najashi. Now both of them, Amr bin As and Umara bin Walid, they prostrated to the king.
Okay.
This was a way of showing respect and norm of the time. So after this, they said that, O king, some people from our country, they've abandoned their faith, their religion, and right now they've sought refuge in your kingdom.
Okay.
King Najashi, he said, in my kingdom? And they said, yes, in your kingdom. Then Najashi, he called the Muslims. Right. He summoned them in his court. Now, Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said to his companions, the other Muslims, that none of you will speak today. Right. Only I will speak today.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, look at the purest of the blood. They're roaring like a tiger, like a lion, that I will speak today, no one else will speak today. SubhanAllah. So they come in the court of Najashi.
As a spokesperson of Islam.
As a spokesperson, as the ambassador of Islam, as a representative of Islam. He comes, and to one side was Amr bin As, and to the other side was Umara bin Walid.
Right.
And other monks and religious leaders were also stood. They were stood next to Najashi in a respectful manner.
Right.
Now, Amr bin As and Umara bin Walid had already informed them that they will not prostrate to you.
Okay.
And with this, they intended that they would basically be disrespecting you and by not doing so.
That's fine.
So this is how he was already trying to make them against
put
the Muslims. So when the Muslims, they came in the court of Najashi, now the monks, they said to them that prostrate to the king.
Okay.
Najafir bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said that we do not prostrate to anyone except Allah.
Subhanallah.
Now Najashi, he asked the reason for this, to which Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he replied that Allah has sent a messenger to us, and he is the same messenger about him Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam had given the glad tiding about. And he said that one messenger will come after me whose name will be Ahmad. So, O King, the same messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has commanded us that we should worship only Allah Almighty, and we should not associate any partner with him, and that we should establish salah and pay zakat and perform piety, and we should abandon evil, we should not perform evil.
Right.
Now the King Najashi, he was very impressed, and he liked the dialogue of Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And Amr bin As, who was a representative of the disbelievers of Quraysh, when he saw this, he couldn't really digest this, that Najashi, the King Najashi, was being impressed by the dialogue, by the speech of Sayyid Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu anhu. Now he played another trick. He said that, O King, may Allah keep you preserved, but these people have a different belief regarding Isa alayhi salam than yours.
Mm.
So their belief regarding Isa alayhi salam is not same as yours. So he was trying to put Najashi off through this tactic now. So Najashi, he now asked Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu that what does your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say regarding Sayyidina Isa bin Maryam alayhi salam radiallahu anha. Now Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he says that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, our master Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, his belief regarding Isa alayhi salam is the same which Allah Almighty has mentioned, that he is Ruhullah and Kalimatullah. Allah Almighty gave him birth through the unmarried Maryam radiallahu anha, who was not touched by any man, and neither did she ever think of giving birth to a child. Now listening to this speech, this dialogue of Ja'far radiallahu anhu, what does Najashi do? He picks up a piece of wood from the ground, he raises it, and he says that, O monks, he is saying the same. He is the saying the same what you say, that Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha did not commit the indecency.
Yeah.
Then he said that, O Muslims, welcome to you and to your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, from whom you have come. I bear witness that he is the messenger of Allah, and he is the same Prophet about whom Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah alayhi salam had given the glad tidings. If I was in the king, meaning I wasn't busy with the affairs of kingdom, then I would present myself in his court, and I would kiss his blessed sandals, his blessed shoes. O Muslims, you may stay, you may live in my kingdom for as long as you want. After saying this, the King Najashi, he ordered his servants to prepare food for the Muslims and also provide them with clothing. And Amr bin As and Umara bin Walid, who had come from the disbelievers, who had given the gifts and which were accepted initially by Najashi radiallahu anh, they were also returned back to them. So this was that beautiful dialogue and speech, the sermon which Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu anh, he spoke in the court of Najashi radiallahu anh, and this was a great victory for the Muslims. Great victory for the Muslims and the disbelievers, especially this delegation of disbelievers which came over here that returned unsuccessful and failed.
The narration you have mentioned, mashallah, that has briefly explained the dialogue which happened and the way he advocated and he fought the case of Islam in front of the king. And we've got another narration which explains that in detail. Definitely we'll touch upon that. Those beautiful qualities which Sayyidina Ja'far bin Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned that what we were before and how
that comes in the next narration.
We'll definitely touch upon that.
Those verses as well which he recited in the court of Najashi. Najashi started to weep. He started to shed tears.
Yeah.
The priests and the monks who were there, they started to shed tears, and they realized that this is a person of truth. These are the words of truth. These verses are the verses of truth. Yeah. They are nothing but truth.
Subhanallah. The respective views of Madinah, inshallah, we'll touch upon this in detail also. And there are so much to learn that how did Islam change the lives of the people who were living in that era? And that's what he mentioned, that who we were before and how Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam gave us the religion of Deen Islam, and how we were transformed and how we changed our lives completely. And this is what inshallah we'll be touching upon.
When we come back from this segment, let's include one segment in our program, and that is words of wisdom. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lies of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
My dear Islamic brothers, inshallah, today, the words of wisdom, what we have got for you today, that is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who is the brother of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. He radiallahu ta'ala says, spend and do not show off and do not elevate yourselves so that you are recognized and praised. Rather, remain hidden and adopt silence. You will remain safe. So this is the beautiful quote saying of Sayyidina Mawla Ali karram Allah ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And it speaks for itself. It is something we can understand, self-explanatory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability that we do not praise and we don't want to be praised and we do not show off and we remain silent. We should not speak what is not to be spoken, and we should only speak what should be spoken. And this is something will lead us towards salvation and safety, inshallah, this dunya and hereafter too. We were talking about the khutbah, the address which was said before the King Najashi, before we went towards the segment. Continuing another narration, there is so much details which talks about different attributes. In the terms of ignorance, what people were going through, and then when Islam came and what Islam taught and the teachings of Islam, and they changed their lives. This was also mentioned before.
Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar Radhiyallahu Anhu mentioned, compared that what their state was before and what they had become now in the court of Najashi. And again, this was that sermon which opened the eyes of Najashi and the courtiers who were over there, who couldn't stop crying. So if we should delve deeper into this very sermon, which Sayyidatina Umm Salama radiallahu anha, because she was also among those who migrated. So this narration is narrated by her, where when Najashi came the Muslims to his court, and Muslims they reached there, then they saw that he had made his ulama sit next to him. Who had their heavenly books opened next to them. Now the Najashi, he asked the Muslims that, what is that religion because of which you've separated from your nation, meaning you've migrated from them, and neither have you entered my religion nor of the former or the other people. So what is that religion? So from the side of Muslims,
probably he was also trying to figure out, understand, okay? And because at that time it was also very famous that the arrival of Rasulullah alayhi salam was much awaited.
Indeed.
You see, the priests of that time, you see, rahibs and monks of that time, they were also waiting for the final messenger of Rasulullah in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salam. And when it was the Rasulullah alayhi salam announced his prophethood and this news came to them, and probably he was just trying to figure out that what teachings have come.
It could be very possible.
Right? And this is what now he explains. Please carry on.
And he was also king, so it's very possible. So when he asked this question from the side of Muslims, again, Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he stands up in the court of Najashi and he says that, O king, we were ignorant. We used to worship the idols. We used to eat carrion and we used to commit indecencies. We used to cut ties. We used to abandon the refuge. This was our habit. And the strong person, the one who would be strong, he would usurp and take over the rights of the weak. And we were wandering in this misguidance.
Just to touch upon this, it's a complete charter. You can understand the rights which have been mentioned, that human rights are also discussed here, and how the rights were violated.
Indeed.
And then he would say that how Islam brought this transformation and how he protected the rights of people.
It was all sort of summarized in such a manner. Like Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu presented the case of Islam to the king of the time in such a manner that no one else could do this. So after mentioning all this, he says that we were wandering in this misguidance when Allah Almighty sent a messenger amongst us. Sent a messenger in us, and we knew of his lineage, his truthfulness, his honesty, and his chastity very well.
True.
He called us towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the worship of Allah Almighty, and commanded us to worship only one God, Allah Almighty.
So here I would like to just again stop you here. The spectrum was there, the word it says that Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and he's saying that we knew about the honesty, we knew about the chastity, we knew about the
truthfulness
of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the life Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has spent even before the announcement of the prophethood, because at the age of 40 years Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam announced his prophethood, but he lived 40 years with those people. And even non-Muslims of that time, right, they knew that he, they used to call him as Sadiq and Amin, right? Truthful and trustworthy. This was his character that spoke, and this is what he is mentioning there, that we already knew about his subhanallah truthfulness and about his honesty and character, and then this is why it means that we believed in him.
Subhanallah. A person of such caliber cannot lie.
Definitely.
Subhanallah. So he says that he called us towards the oneness and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and commanded us to worship only one God, Allah Almighty, and he commanded us to leave the idols whom we and our forefathers used to worship. Moreover, he commanded us to speak the truth. He commanded us to be honest. He commanded us to be nice to our relatives. He commanded us to be kind to our neighbors. He commanded us to refrain from avoiding the rites of our maharim, and he refrained us from shedding blood, and he prohibited us from indecency, from telling lies, from usurping the wealth of the orphan, and from slandering the chaste woman. And he carries on to say that he commanded us to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to associate any partner with him. Moreover, he commanded us to offer salah, to establish salah. He commanded us to pay zakat, to keep fast. And this way, Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu kept telling about these matters of Islam which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had told them. And after that, he said that we testify to him and we believe in him and we follow the commandments which he brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, and we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do not associate any partner with him, and whatever he made haram upon us, we consider it haram, and whatever he made halal for us, we deem it halal. Upon this, he mentions all this, and after he says that because of this, our nation has become our enemy. They have become against us. They started to oppress us in different manners, and they put us to test in relation to our religion, so that we abandon the worship of Allah Almighty and start worshipping the idols, and again consider the impure as halal. And they oppressed us so much, they tyrannized us so much, they narrowed our way so much that they hindered between us and our religion. And this is why we have come to your country, we've migrated to your kingdom. O King, upon this hope that there will be no oppression upon us under your refuge, we prioritized, we preferred your kingdom over all other kingdoms, and we preferred your neighborhood over all other neighborhoods.
What a beautiful argument.
SubhanAllah. After all that, after mentioning about Islam, after telling about Islam, he tells that we've come to you in the hope that there will be no oppression upon us over here. Now, Najashi asks him that the message which your Prophet has brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have you got some of it?
Rasim will ask me, before going further, you see, the beautiful way of presenting your case. Can you look at this? Now, he said that we have not come here after harming somebody. Right. We have not come to take your refuge that we have
oppressed someone,
and they have come after us and they want us back there. But he said that we were wrong before. We were in the midst of ignorance and darkness, and then now we have come to the light due to a personality, right, who has led us to this light. And this is the only mistake we have got. This is the only crime we have committed. And if you think if this is a crime that we have come to you and they are after us, Then you decide it. And how beautifully he presented this amazing case, and subhanAllah. Amazing. And then, not only the way he presented the case, but his honesty, and then subhanAllah, the ta'seer he had, the effect in his tongue. That made what you're going to explain, and how it affected the hearts of the people there, and especially the King Najashi. Started crying. Everybody, everybody started crying.
And it seemed as if the kindle of light had also started enlighten the heart of Najashi. And now he asked him that, the message that your Nabi, your Prophet, has brought from Allah Almighty, have you got some of it with you?
Surah Maryam. Surah.
And now Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, yes. And Najashi said, read some of it to us now. And now Sayyid Ja'far radiallahu anhu recites the initial verses of Surah Maryam. Listening.
This is again a beautiful intellect.
Intellect.
He did not choose any other part of the
Understanding
Quran.
Understanding the psyche of the other person.
Yeah, because King Najashi, he belonged to the religion of Christianity.
Yes.
So he chose Surah Maryam, right? Which is the surah regarding Mary,
mother
of Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And he chose that surah. And this is the beauty of Islam also, alhamdulillah. We've got a complete surah that talks about the mother of Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And detailed discussion about Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And when that was recited, that had an effect.
Najashi started to cry, and it is said that by Allah, his beard was soaked with tears, and all the other ulama, his scholars that he had next to him, they were also listening to the recitation of Quran. They cried so much that the heavenly books that they had opened, the pages got soaked with their tears. And Najashi said that indeed, this is the same speech, this speech, and the speech with Musa alayhi salam brought, meaning the Torah, they emerged from the same nur. This is what Najashi, he says. And then both the ambassadors of Quraysh, Abdullah bin Abi Rabia and Amr bin As, to both of them, he said that both of you leave.
Yeah.
By Allah, I will not hand these people to you guys.
Yeah.
So this was the amazing account that took place over there up to now. And then Najashi said to the Muslims that from now on,
nobody will touch
my
you.
Kingdom is your refuge. No one will touch you. If someone does touch you, he will harm himself. And then
he said it's thrice.
He said it's thrice. And he even said that, O group of Muslims, even if I'm given a mountain full of gold, even then I wouldn't prefer that any single one of you get harmed. Even if I'm given a mountain full of gold. And then he said to both those delegates of the disbelievers of Quraysh, that return the gifts to them. I do not need them. And then this is how he beautifully honored, and this is how the Muslims, they stayed in peace and harmony in that very kingdom. It was all due to the eloquence, due to the brilliance, due to the amazingness of our master.
And it is also mentioned in the books that it was the speech of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib of the Allahu Ta'ala, and the address he mentioned and presented before King Najashi, that led Najashi to accept and embrace Islam.
Subhanallah, indeed.
And alhamdulillah, he accepted Islam later on. And this is the beauty of the da'wah, you can say, or the case, the way he presented. So in Ja'far bin Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala, and again, that credit also goes to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon the soul of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala, and shrine of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala, and Ameen Bijahi Nabi Ameen. Inshallah, we'll talk about further on this beautiful topic and the personality we are discussing, Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib. But now it's time to include one segment in our program, and that is, especially brothers, did you know? Let's find out, did you or not? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
The very first question I would like to ask from you, what was the size of the stone of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the stone he used to keep? What was
it
the size?
It was a square stone measuring one arm length on both sides.
Right.
Question for you, from its stone, 12 springs of water emerged.
Yeah, in the plains of Thieves, it was the same stone that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam struck with his blessed staff, and consequently 12 springs of water emerged from it. That mu'jiza of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salam was also happened from the same stone. How many years the Bani Israel used this water for, which was emerged from that stone?
The Bani Israel used this water for 40 years.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. 40 years. Amazing. Respective viewers of Paradishal, this is the few facts and the questions and answers of the knowledge which we shared with you. Hope you must have increased your knowledge. Today we are talking about a Sahabi Rasul. You're talking about a personality who's known as Hazrat Ja'far bin Abi Talib. And one of the titles of Ja'far bin Abi Talib of the Allahu Ta'ala and Wasim al-Basfai is known as Tayyar. And what is the meaning? Tayyar is the one who flies. And you earlier mentioned also on Rul Janahain, the one who possesses two feathers, two wings. So actually at the time of his shahadat, his martyrdom, actually when it happened, he was carrying the flag of Islam. And at that moment in time when he was carrying the flag of Islam, his one arm was cut, right? And another, he held that flag of Islam in the other hand, and that was also cut. And then he even held it, he tried to held it.
He clung it onto his chest.
On his chest. Allah. And that's how, subhanAllah, Allah. Brave he was. But this, when he got martyred, when he left this mortal world, probably 90 wounds were
more
seen.
More than 90.
More than 90.
Some narrations say more than 70, some say more than 90.
Allahu Akbar. And they were on the chest, on the front side of Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, and they were seen. And then when the soul of Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala and departed from this mortal world, right, he drank the Jami' al-Shahadat, right, subhanAllah, and he got martyred. Now, what reward he got was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him two wings.
Subhanallah.
Two fathers.
Subhanallah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that I saw Ja'far flying with angels in Jannah.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Now there are two points, Wasim al-Basbay. One is the sight of Rasulullah
sallallahu.
One is the nazar of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. He's sitting in this dunya, but he's his nigah, subhanallah, his sight, his power of seeing Allahu Akbar can see in Jannah, and he can see that who is flying, with whom he is flying.
Malakut wa mulk.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So this is the zat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But again, what was the maqam and status which was given to Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and that he was flying in Jannah with angels. Allahu Akbar. Not only this, there is another narration that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. He says that we were with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam raised his hand towards the sky, and then he said, wa alaykum as-salam. He replied, salam. It was asked that, who are you replying to? The reply of salam, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, I just saw on the sky Ja'far was flying with angels, and he said salam to me, and I replied his salam.
Allah.
Now, respective viewers of Madani Channel, Shaheed is in, alive. The one who is martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran says, do not even consider him, he is dead, he is alive. Now, this is the shan. This is the maqam and rutbah of a Sahabi Rasul, or a person from the Ummah of Rasul alayhi salam, who recited the kalima of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, and he got this maqam that he is alive. He is saying salam to the Nabi alayhi salam. What can you talk about the hayat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Tu zinda hai wallah, tu zinda hai wallah, mere chashm-e alam se chup jane wale. Now, Rasulullah alayhi salam's own maqam and status, rutbah, what would that be? We cannot even imagine that. Allahu Akbar, who is looking, Sayyidina Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala, and flying on the sky, and then not only in this dunya, but also in Jannah. This is the nazar of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the, when you are sincere with Islam, when you serve Islam, when you sincerely do something for the religion of Deen Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your status. He gives you, you are rewarded. And this is what we learn from the seerah of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah, definitely Rizwan. And as you were mentioning the account of the Battle of Mutawwih, Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu embraced martyrdom, there's another narration over here that when he radiallahu anhu took control when one companion embraced martyrdom, and then he radiallahu anhu took the flag.
Yeah, Zaid bin Hafsa was the first, and then he took the flag.
It is stated that Shaitan al-Rajim came to him.
Okay.
Satan came to him, and what he did, he tried to instill the love of life and world in his heart at that time.
Allahu Akbar. Our enemy, open enemy.
Open enemy, very cunning. To the likes of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he's coming. Who am I? You know. So he came to him to instill the love of life in this world in his heart. And Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said to him that this is the time for the strengthening of faith in the hearts of the believers. And you want to instill the love of this world in my heart? Not even a single wound on the back, it is further stated. But Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said that this is the time for the strengthening of faith in the hearts of the believers. And O accursed Satan, you want to instill the love of this love of this world in my heart? So this is what his response was to Shaitan al-Rajim. And then what you mentioned earlier as well, that not even a single wound was found on his back. All the wounds were at his front.
This was the sign of his bravery.
Subhanallah.
This was the courage for this. Subhanallah. So respecting today we are talking about Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and who is also known as Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala. And there are certain beautiful attributes which are linked with this personality. Especially we talked about helping the masakeen, feeding the poor, right? And his ids, his inkisari, his humbleness, him being down to earth. And one is the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And how much love Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam had for Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned that when the Khaybar was conquered,
right?
And at that time Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala came back, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said,
came back from Habsha.
Yeah. And then it was said that I don't know whether I am more happy for the
victory of Khaybar or your arrival.
Allahu Akbar. What a great comment this is for a person who is the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know that the Khaybar was one of the greatest victories of Islam. It was very, very, very much awaited victory, and alhamdulillah, very big achievement in the history of Islam. But what a comparison Rasulullah alaihi wasallam is giving. Allahu Akbar. And this was the love he had for this Sahabi Rasul.
It is stated that the Prophet stood up, embraced him, kissed him on his forehead, and then said what you just mentioned. And then Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was also given the spoils of war, the share from the spoils of war, when he arrived over there. And look at the sacrifice that he made, that he migrated to Habsha, leaving everything, his mother town, his motherland, everything, and lived over there for how many? 7 or 8 years. And it's easy to say. But then they migrated from there after they had settled over there. Then they migrated again towards Madinatul Munawwara. And we are talking this, but look at the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam through another narration, where Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu had the honor of performing Umrah with the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he referred to him with the title, Ya Habibi,
Subhan.
Oh my beloved,
Subhan.
You are like me in physical appearance and in seerah.
Subhan, surah and seerah. Right.
You're like me. Subhan. Upon this, an emotional state overcame Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he was overjoyed and overtaken with emotion.
Fana itna to ho jao me teri zaat aali mein, jo mujhko dekh le usko tera didar ho
jao.
Allah Akbar. These were sahaba ikram. In seerah, in character, they had followed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam so much that subhanallah, this is what they would look like, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. And he was even loved by other companions as well, the likes of Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhulbin, who is his brother as well. Now beautiful narration is one way, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu, who is the son of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu, he says that I would sometimes ask Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, who's his uncle, about something, and Ali radiallahu, he wouldn't give me, or sometimes he would refuse to give me. Then I would say, for the sake of Ja'far bin Abi Talib,
Allah.
And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu would give it then. That's how much love Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem had for Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And then look at the love that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had towards the children of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. After his martyrdom, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went to his house, and he had two sons, Muhammad and Abdullah. And to Muhammad, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he resembles my uncle Abu Talib. And to for Abdullah, he said that he resembles me, meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself in appearance and seerah. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam held their hands and prayed for the blessings of Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And then their mother, the wife of Ja'far bin Tayyar radiallahu anhu, she said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they've become orphan, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that do you fear poverty because of them becoming orphaned?
I am Allah.
And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that I am their guardian in this world and in the hereafter.
Allah. Not only in this world.
Not only in this world.
What an honor. What an honor. SubhanAllah. Respect to Yusuf Panishan. These are the lives of companions. These are the personalities. They have graced this earth. Allahu Akbar. And left a legacy for us. We can find light when we walk on their path, when we tread upon the path of the Sahaba Ikram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to learn about their seerah, learn about their lives, and learn about their legacy, what they left behind, and give us tawfiq that we follow their footsteps. That's all for today, inshallah. We'll be back with another beautiful episode of Lives of the Companions, with another beautiful personality from Sahaba Ikram, from companions of Prophet Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Inshallah. We'll be back next week. Keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat of our Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhu.